Hello and welcome to this special discussion on Network 18, where we are discussing digital payments in India, a $10 trillion opportunity. Well, digital payments in India is already $3 trillion. So can $10 trillion be achieved over the next 4 years? That's something that we are going to discuss with a very special panel. We have Praveena Rai, who is the Chief Operating Officer of NPCI, the National Payments Corporation of India. We also have Karthik Raghupati, who is the Head of Strategy and Investor Relations for PhonePe. We also have Prateek Roomta, who is the Managing Director and Partner in the Mumbai office of Boston Consulting Group, or BCG. Thank you all very much for joining us on this discussion. $10 trillion sounds like a huge number, but that's actually the target or the milestone that PhonePe, Pulse and BCG have mentioned in their report on digital payments. In fact, it's a very fascinating report for someone who wants to understand how India went from zero to 3 trillion, and you know what the key inflection points were in the last decade. So actually, Karthik and Prateek, let me start with you. Tell us more about this report, the intent behind this report, because it's clearly been a watershed year as far as digital payments in India is concerned. And, you know, if you can also share some key takeaways from the PhonePe Pulse BCG report on digital payments.
As the market leader, the trends and insights that we see in our data is certainly reflective of the country's digital economy. PhonePe Pulse, which we launched in October of last year, is our flagship initiative on sharing such insights. It's India's first interactive geospatial platform on digital payments. And it's a simple extension of our open philosophy. And it's a means to give back to what is probably globally one of the best open ecosystems in the world. We launched the first Pulse annual report last year. And since then, we've been publishing data, trends, reports periodically. And this year, which is the second annual report for which we partnered with BCG, we really want to provide much deeper insights and data on how the industry is doing and how it will shape up in 2026 and beyond. Prateek, why don't you take us through some of the key highlights?
Our report estimates that today, more than 40% of all payments have actually moved to a non-cash or a digital platform. And we expect this trend to continue strongly going forward. And we expect that in the next few years, digital will surpass cash payments in the country. And basis that, we estimate that the $3 trillion value of digital payments today will actually grow threefold and become $10 trillion in the next few years to come. We've also talked in the report about the trends that are driving this digitization. It's the rapid change of consumer behavior, very importantly, the increase in merchant acceptance network, and lastly, but very importantly, the innovation driven by fintech and big tech players, which has helped in this adoption. And we also talk in the report about what's there in the future to come with IoT and 5G, embedded finance, and India's very own digital rupee.
Praveena, in fact, you know, I was just going through some data, and it's fascinating if you look at the transaction values over the years for UPI. FY18, it was just 1.09 lakh crore, and FY22, we are at 83.45 lakh crore. So take us through the explosive growth that we've seen. You know, what are the key drivers? When are we perhaps going to cross that 100 lakh crore number?
Now, when you look at the drivers that have given this phenomenal growth, you know, I think first and foremost, I go back to the basics. And that is to do with the fantastic open collaboration that we've had between two large ecosystems. One is the banking ecosystem, and the second is the entire fintech ecosystem. So players like PhonePe have been instrumental in being part of that fintech ecosystem that's brought about excellent customer experience, onboarding of merchants. It's not just the tech, it's also the feet on the street, creating that entire merchant buy-in and merchant awareness. And then you have the banks who traditionally own the customer account, opening up to this standard of the four-party model, be it UPI or many other payment systems, and really coming together to create an environment where such growth has been fostered. So I think it's really bringing the best of everything together that has been the number one point. Second, of course, are the growth of technology from being a services tech country. You know, we really made that transition to a product tech country, creating tech leaders, technopreneurs, a lot of tech expertise that then has gone into creating great products, the whole CX-driven approach that we're talking about.
Kartik, PhonePe, of course, has what a 47% market share when it comes to UPI. But if you can take us through, you know, your thoughts on what the key drivers have been.
I genuinely believe the growth of UPI in India is a wonderful example of how public-private partnerships can really create incredible impact. And I think UPI stands out amongst even global case studies in terms of genuine public-private partnerships that can create impact at scale. As we all know, Praveena and the NPCI team have been instrumental in laying out fundamental capabilities and frameworks that have really established UPI. And then private players like us have largely enabled that growth at scale. And I think the growth enablement comes across three dimensions, and a lot of which Praveena already touched upon. The first is infrastructure investments. And this is to ensure that payments reliability happens at scale. For example, we own and operate our large data centers along with active data recovery, which is critical to ensuring that payments happens reliably at scale. The second is product innovation. And I think here, for technology to be truly democratized and usable at scale by everyone in the country, it's critical for companies to build simple, easy to understand UI and UX, user interfaces and user experiences that scales across demographic cohorts from big cities to villages and from millennials to older population. So this would be key. And this is something that Praveena referenced as well. And then finally, I think awareness and marketing, ensuring that everyone is just aware of how easy and fast it is to do digital payments. So these would be the large drivers. But I think underlying all of this is that public-private partnership that has really created this impact at scale.
Public-private partnership is, you know, an approach that India has taken in many of its digital stacks. In fact, that brings me to my next point. Everybody is talking about the Open Network for Digital Commerce or ONDC. You know, people are talking about how this is going to be the UPI moment for online commerce. And PhonePe also has plans for ONDC. So, you know, three of you, if you can share your thoughts on how this is going to be a big opportunity to drive digital payments.
We believe, and the report also talks about it, that the next wave of growth in digital payments will actually come from merchant payments. And in that context, initiatives like ONDC will be very important, because they'll bring multiple offline sellers onto digital platforms, which already has started with people like Flipkart and Amazon digitizing many, many sellers, but it'll only go to the next stage of evolution with platforms like ONDC.
Praveena?
So this really enables that merchant who's not as savvy today to really get onto one of the standard e-commerce platforms, but is still wanting to be part of the opportunity that digital offers. And I don't mean just the merchant in the way we understand a grocer or a supermarket, but this is also a small business, an MSME organization. So I think for all of them, we all hope that this will really open up an opportunity and create a level playing field and create business growth for them.
Kartik, is this going to be a big game changer, especially for payment firms like PhonePe? Because in one shot, you know, you have access to millions of traders and merchants who are going to come on the network. If someone types in an item and, you know, you end up processing it, that could be a new opportunity for you. You know, your foray into online commerce in a sense. So how is this really going to change things?
One thing that's happened with the small merchant or the Kirana merchant around all over India is that they've essentially taken that first step towards digitization, right? Which is the whole digital payment acceptance network. The second is, I think consumer behavior has been well shaped by e-commerce across the nation. So that's a second ingredient that's already a given. And that the third ingredient is the maturation of the whole third-party logistics providers, which are a critical component of ONDC as well. And I think all three are now ready. And I think quite bullish about what ONDC can do to commerce, similar to what UPI did for payments in a very open, interoperable fashion.
Pratik, if you have to take us through the key challenges when it comes to expansion of digital payments adoption, you know, what is holding us back? What are some of the challenges holding us back today?
We've done multiple rounds of consumer research to ask consumers what do they look for when they want to migrate to digital payments. And two things stand out. Consumers talk about convenience and ubiquity. In the context of ubiquity, it's very important to have a widespread merchant acceptance network. And that's been the biggest challenge. With the low-cost UPI QR, at least we've overcome that challenge to a large extent, with more than 20-25 million merchants now onto this platform. And this will be the next game changer for digital payments in the country. Some of the other challenges that we've witnessed are lack of high-speed internet or data access on phones, lack of financial literacy, or lack of security and trust in the platform, which keeps consumers from migrating to these platforms. And as we work together as an industry, along with bodies like NPCI and players like PhonePe, we have to collectively work towards ensuring that some of these challenges are taken care of if we are to meet our estimates.
But Prateek, coming to you, in terms of, you know, embedded finance, again, this is something that I saw in the report, a lot of emphasis on apps or players moving from embedded payments to embedded finance. Is that going to be the next leg of the journey?
Sure. I think with the advent of digital payments that we've been talking about, the payment journeys for many use cases have got digitized and become quite seamless. Now, the most logical step was the extension of these digital payment journeys to other financial services transactions. And lending and investments have been the most popular use cases that have seen a fair bit of traction over the last few years, with many fintechs focusing on these. Now, if I look at multiple payment players, lending digitization has been a very important use case for them. And many payment players have today embedded finance in their payment journeys. What this does is make the entire payment and financing transaction very seamless for the customers, and customers can avail digital credit with just the click of a button. For the players, this requires curated customer journeys and hyper-personalized offerings, which can then help them monetize the customers that they've acquired on the payments platform and also get a larger share of wallet of these customers. Very importantly, embedded finance, not only for customers, but it's also important for merchants, because the payments and transaction data can be used for better credit assessment and can then give embedded finance or credit available to merchants who earlier had no access to credit.
Right. Karthik, you know, PhonePe also has ambitions of moving beyond payments to becoming a financial services super app. Insurance is already a huge area of focus for you. So how does this embedded finance play into your own ambitions?
Basis what we're seeing, I think this will be a year where you'll really start to see platforms like us be able to extend from the core offering, in our case payments, and cross-sell financial services products like insurance. I think some of the ingredients that are beneficial for platforms like us, I wouldn't just say it's scale, it's relevant scale. I mean, if you look at where insurance or lending or investments is underpenetrated in the country, it's not necessarily in the metros, it's in tier two and below. And that's where platforms like us, who have, let's say, about 80% of our users coming from these locations, it makes the scale very relevant. Second is this notion of trust. Historically, users buy financial services products from institutions that they trust. Now, payment companies in particular have earned the trust of their users, whether it's consumers or merchants, by seamlessly being able to move money across various use cases in a very reliable manner. So that trust gets built up. And then the third is just the ability to be tech first and tech led in the way the products are manifested, where products are just purchased in a few clicks rather than a more cumbersome paper-based or people-based process, which makes it far less efficient.
Praveena, what do you think are going to be the next big milestones for UPI in the coming year?
The new use cases and applications of AutoPay, which is the mandate-based solution, are really yet to be explored. We're still doing OTT, streaming, utilities, which are the sort of been there, done that kind of merchant categories. I see, for example, insurance. If you look at micro insurance, if you look at micro investments, small ticket transactions that need to happen on a repeated manner, I think these are all use cases that will start playing out. So clearly, AutoPay is a critical one. Feature phone and voice-based payments, it's just been released to market. We see a lot of gas booking happening on the feature phone, so it's very interesting. A personal favorite of mine really is also the MSME space. This is a space which really has not participated in the whole digital payments juggernaut the way large corporates have or the retail consumer has. So today a merchant, for example, receives payments digitally, but still has an apprehension that, hey, I don't make my payments digitally. And so now I have to handle that piece. in a slightly more clunky manner. You know, I need to figure out who I need to pay, how I need to pay, and maybe I need to make a separate transaction. So if we can, you know, while on the other hand, actually the supply chain in terms of how orders are placed and goods are delivered has started to get digitized. And there's an opportunity to marry these two and bring that whole B2B segment and MSME payments, you know, into this space. And that will be something that, you know, we'll be exploring further. And clearly, I you know, read in the sort of the preview, secret preview of the report about IoT. I think, you know, embedded payments, the Internet of Things, very early days. But I'm sure we'll start seeing the early signs of what innovation can do there.
Karthik, you know, give us some interesting insights that you guys have gleaned on how people, you know, use payments or transact in different parts of India through this report. You know, does it change with states? Does it change with demographics? If you can give us a sense of the key insights.
So I think the insights are across three broad areas. Firstly, geographically. Digital payment penetration, as we all know, has grown across all states of India.
Yeah.
What we've seen is, in particular, we see higher penetration in southern India. And more recently, interestingly enough, areas like the Northeast are leading when it comes to growth rates, year-over-year growth rates. So that's on the geography side. Secondly, when you look from a category perspective, we're seeing significant growth on the merchant axis, or what is referred to as P2M, driven by, in particular, the rapid adoption on the offline merchant, which in turn is driven by both the acceptance network that's been rolled out, as well as consumers taking to it in droves. And finally, I think probably most interestingly, is the demographic trends that we're seeing. Cohorts that have historically been slower to take on digital payments, for example, let's say the population aged over 60, are now using it in droves. And perhaps this is one of the relatively few silver linings of the pandemic, is that it actually accelerated adoption by about a couple of years. What would have happened by, say, 2024, 2025 has already happened.
But, you know, all these trends, doesn't it also kind of put, increase, you know, responsibility in making digital payments safer, making it easier for people to get recourse if a payment falls through, or, you know, if the amount is debited and they don't get a certain product or service? Because that also kind of adds to anxiety and, you know, they might not go for a digital payment next time.
Trust and safety is genuinely one of the core components of what will drive growth of digital payments in this country going forward. If you take the next 5 years, I think this will be a key pillar. And this is, again, one of those things that is a genuine public-private investment, right? So private players, we have to put in place, as we've been doing, a lot of algorithms that actually detect fraud, as well as proactively inform customers and handhold them through the whole process. But there's also investments on the infrastructure side that will happen both on the bank side as well as on our side that will ensure that these transactions actually happen reliably. So I don't think, I think it's an understatement to say that investments in infrastructure as well as trust and safety would be critical to driving growth in the next few years. And that's something that I would say is happening quite well, but we all need to continue to keep our eye on this one.
Pradeep, you know, interesting insights. I noticed that while the penetration is, you know, rising in South India, even taking off in the Northeast, the Western part of India still seems to be a little resistant to digital payments. I think states such as Gujarat, cities such as Mumbai, it's still a cash economy. Do you think, you know, that's going to continue to be the case? Do you see that changing? How do you see that panning out?
I think one very important point to note is that today many merchants, traders still want to accept cash for their goods or services because they have to in turn make their payments in cash to their suppliers or the people they are receiving service from. And in that context, our report talks about one very important factor, which is large-scale digitization of supply chains. And there are multiple initiatives, both private and public, which are taking place to drive large-scale digitization of supply chains, both in agri and in manufacturing. And once we see that happening, once traders and suppliers are able to make quote-unquote B2B payments using non-cash means, their propensity to accept cash from their customers will also go up. And therefore, these things go hand in hand, the consumer payments and the merchant payments. And they both need to be digitized simultaneously to drive large-scale adoption of digital payments, especially in segments like Western India, which are very trader, SME, merchant-focused economies.
On that note, thank you all very much for joining us on this panel discussion where we are discussing the past, present and future of digital payments in India. It's currently a $3 trillion market, but it's likely to touch $10 trillion in the next few years on the back of all the drivers that our speakers mentioned, whether it's going to be adoption through feature phones, offline mode in smartphones, more merchants adopting digital payments, and embedded finance, where payment players are going to upsell, cross-sell other financial services using payments as a funnel to get customers. On that note, thank you all very much for joining us for this special show